It's interesting that Helen stood up just before the breaking of bread and just asked us to think about, you know, what kind of year you're expecting. And I wonder what kind of things you do think about typically when you enter a new year. You know, perhaps you think about, you know, what do I want to achieve this year? If you think of questions like that, maybe you think of New Year's resolutions. I was watching Casualty last night. It was all about New Year's resolutions. My New Year's resolution is to not to do preaches with 3 points in all the time. No, that's not a resolution. It's just that this one doesn't have 3 points. Maybe you think about new or ongoing challenges, you know, things that you know you have to face this year. It's a challenge for you, or maybe it's something you've carried on from last year that you're still working through. I wonder actually how many of us do take time to step back from the year that's just gone on and reflect. You know, would you say that last year for you personally was a good year? Was it a bad year? You know, on balance, you know, how would you describe the year that's just gone? Do you feel you've moved forward in life? Move forward as a Christian? How would you feel? Do you feel you've moved backwards? How do you feel spiritually? Do you feel that you're closer to God than this time last year? Or do you feel somehow that, you know, for whatever reason, maybe business of life or health issues or other challenges, somehow that, you know, you've just kind of lost your way a little bit and you don't really feel closer to God than you were a year ago? You know, these are all interesting and very valid and important questions, and it's worth from time to time us just taking that time out and thinking a little bit about the year that's just gone. It's a sad truth, probably, that many of us don't take that time. For many of us, we kind of just roll on from one year to the next. It's just another year, and we just kind of, you know, tomorrow I'll be going to work. You know, since the Christmas break, some of you may have been back to work already, but for many of us, you know, tomorrow will be the first day back, and you got to get straight back into the groove, and off you go, without really a thought to what's happened before or what's happening ahead of you. You're just straight back into it. We've been watching whole lots of Ally McBeal recently. It's a great series, highly recommend it, really funny. There's a guy there, one of the lawyers, called John Cage, and he often says, you know, I just want to, let's take a moment. You know, he does it really as one of his little tricks in the courtroom, but actually, yeah, let's take a moment. Let's take a moment and think and reflect. How do you really, really, really feel about the year 2015? This is what Helen asked us, you know. How do you feel about the year 2015? You know, if you're going to write down on your notepaper, those of you who are taking notes, if you're going to write down a few adjectives, a few words to describe how you feel about the year coming forward, what kind of words would you write down that would describe it? You know, do you feel excited about the year ahead? Or do you feel bored? Do you feel energetic, full of get up and go, you know, ready to conquer the world? Or do you feel a bit jaded, a bit weary, a bit in a rut? Thought of another year, just kind of, even just the thought of it kind of drains the life out of you, just thinking about it. Now, are you full of faith, full of expectation, full of and overflowing with God's promises, are the kind of things we've been singing about this morning? Or are you anxious, doubtful, maybe even fearful of what lies ahead of you? Or maybe, as I've just said, maybe 2015 for you, well, it's just another year. Just another year. Can't really say I feel anything about it. I was reading the other day in some daily notes that were in my inbox called Our Daily Bread. And the daily notes were centered around a scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. It says this: "As for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ. As for you, continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of, because you know from whom you've learned it. And there was one word in that scripture that really jumped out at me. A really hard question here, and there is a big clue right behind me. But what one word do you think jumped out of me in that scripture? Continue. Continue. And if anybody didn't get that, you know, shame on you. I did really make that easy. The word continue. It's a great word, continue. And I just kept thinking and thinking and thinking about this word, continue. And the context of this scripture, the context of the daily readings, and again, you know, Helen pointed this out. I said to Helen in the break, I said, you know, you can't imagine how much this really lines up with what I've been thinking about. I mean, Helen said, we don't know whether, you know, it's going to be good times or tough times. You know, we're probably going to have both. And the truth is, and this is what this daily reading was saying, you know, if you ask people, you know, what do you expect in the year ahead, you know, good times or bad times? Well, the truth is, we probably will experience a measure of both in our lives. You know, we'll have great times, happy times, but things inevitably hit our lives which are difficult, which are challenging, because it's all part of life. What is our attitude to these things, to the good times and the difficult times? Our attitude needs to be to continue. We continue. So I started thinking about this some more, and I started looking up some more scriptures. Here's just a handful, just three, in fact. And if you get out your concordance, you could look up loads and loads of scriptures that have this theme of continuing, you know, right through them. You know, Philippians 2:12, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Colossians 2, verse 6, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. And 1 John 2:28, and now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. You know, and you can look up more and more scriptures. Continue. What does continue mean? I mean, what kind of words in your thoughts kind of spring to mind if you're going to describe the word continue? Shout one or two out.
Keep going.
What else? Carry on. Anyone else?
Persevering.
Yeah, all those kind of things. I'll put a few here. This is, you know, looking up the dictionary of the word continue, to keep going, to keep on doing something without stopping, to persist, to carry on with, to go on with, to remain in. There's also the sense, and when there's been a slight pause, you know, you continue, you resume, you pick up and you take up, you carry on, you return to, is also a context of continuing. And sometimes to help understand the word, you need to understand the opposites as well, called the antonyms, you know, to stop, to discontinue, to give up, abandon, or walk away. You know, when you really think about a small word like this and meditate on it and say, God, you know, what are you saying here? Continue is a really powerful word. And when I waited on God as to what I should share this morning, I feel God wants to say to us, both individually and as a church, which is amazing what Dave shared at the beginning, because we hadn't corroborated. You know, we hadn't said, look, I'm preaching on this, can you make sure you share something in line? We didn't do that. We just both came in the Holy Spirit. And I feel God wants to say to each one of us and to the church, continue. Continue. Keep going. Persevere. Don't give up. Remain. Stay together. Continue. Now, another little quirkism of Alec McBeal, and you're going to not like this bit, but I think it's really important. John Cage, the slightly quirky lawyer, says to the congregation, he's talking to the jury, and you know, he's also making his point, and he'll say, now say with me, and he gets them to repeat, which is a very weird thing for a jury, but less quite weird for the church. I think this word continue is really important. So I want us to say the word together, continue. Continue. Brilliant. It's really important because we want to hear this. We want to hear this word ringing back in our ears. Let's say it again. Continue. Excellent. Because when you go home, you can be saying that in the car. Putting spiritual things aside for a moment, just to think about, you know, what it means to continue and what is the impact, what is the benefit of continuing. I wanted us to think a little bit about some people, famous people, celebrities, who almost didn't make it, but ended up being, you know, quite a success, quite an achiever. Do you recognise this person? Who is he? My name's Michael Caine. Not many people know that. Apparently, he didn't ever say that. It's just something what impersonators, or impressionists rather, say of him. Michael Caine. So, Michael Caine is probably one of the country's most highly regarded actors. But his career had lots of twists and turns, and he wasn't always as great as perhaps we think of him today. You know, this Alfie star, he began as a stagehand. And it led to a few walk-on parts, which is great. But things took a very dark turn when he walked out of his marriage at the age of 22 and out of fatherhood as well. And Michael Caine is said to have said this. He said, "I walked out of the marriage and Pat, which is his wife, took Dominique back to her parents in Sheffield. They were marvellous and brought her up. The marriage breakdown was entirely my fault. I was too young and immature to take on the poverty and personal and professional failure." And he said, "I collapsed like a house of cards. I was out of work, I had no money, and I was forced at the age of 23 to return to the council prefab where I'd lived with my mum and dad and to rely on their generosity once again." Michael Caine hit the lowest of low. But you look at him now. Look at him now. Did he give up? He persevered. He continued. He remained in what he knew he was good at. And look at him now. A wonderful success and a wonderful actor. Recognise him? Orwell. Winston Churchill. Winston Churchill. Well, we all know Winston Churchill, don't we? So he was a politician. He was given a state funeral. State funeral in 1965. So, you know, highly regarded, honoured man in this country. But, you know, he failed his entrance exam for the Royal Military College. He failed it twice. Failed his exams twice to get into that college. He then hit a rocky patch in his political career, and is often known as the wilderness years in Churchill's career. And that was between 1929 and 1939. So 10 years drifting around in the wilderness, not feeling very successful at all. And during that time, he was estranged by his political party because there was a difference of opinions about, you know, about what the party was all about. So he was really very, you know, just really going through tough times. But Churchill famously said these words, which are up there on the screen: "Success is not final and failure is not fatal. It's the courage to continue that counts." Isn't that brilliant? Isn't that profound? "Success is not final, failure is not fatal. It's the courage to continue that counts." Okay, let's throw a little one, more, slightly more difficult one in. Probably not that difficult. Who's that? Any guesses? Go on. Pardon? Charles Darwin. Well done. James at the back there, the pub quiz master. Charles Darwin. Now, you may question some of his theories, you know, around evolution, but no one can deny that he has been a very prominent scientist, a British scientist. He laid the foundations of the theory of evolution. He changed the way we view the natural world. But he started out as a school dropout. Did you know that? He was a dropout in school. He was an average student. The scientist showed no interest in academia at all. And it was probably not helped by the fact he had quite serious dyslexia. And after he dropped out of medical school, Darwin's father once said to him, "You care for nothing but shooting dogs and catching rats, and you will be nothing but a disgrace to yourself and all your family." Well, praise God, my dad never said anything like that to me. But this is what Darwin's father said to Charles Darwin. But did he give up? He didn't give up. He continued and he pursued his passions. He pursued what he believed in. He kept going and it was a huge, huge success. A couple more. Any thoughts? Pardon? Vincent van Gogh. Vincent van Gogh. Yes. He's a well-known painter, but he only sold one painting his entire life. Isn't that incredible? You know, the painter who painted more than 900 pieces of work, which are all, you know, collector's items now, you know, in his lifetime, he was only able to sell one painting. I almost took this one out when I was considering this, but I'm really glad that I left it in. And I made a note this morning why I left it in before I came out. And then it really came out in what we were sharing during the meeting, because Vincent van Gogh never really saw success, but yet he was probably one of the most successful artists of his life, of his generation. He never saw the fruit, and we were talking about that. Sometimes, you know, when we are serving in the eternal things, when we're serving God, when we're being faithful to what God has called us to do, and we are where God wants us to be, and we're reaching out to people, you know, you may not see a single evidence of fruit. And we pray that that would not ever be the case, because, you know, we need encouragement. But, you know, sometimes you don't always see the fruits of your long-term faith works. But someday, one day, you know, those works will be rewarded in heaven. But one day, you'd never know what impact your life and your love and your faithfulness towards others, you know, what impact that is having in people's lives. You may never see it. Like Van Gogh never saw his own success, and yet he was truly, truly successful. Did he give up because he didn't sell any paintings? No, he didn't give up. He painted 900 paintings, 900 pieces of art. He kept going. He continued. Last one. Who's that? J.K. Rowling. We all know what J.K. Rowling was well known for in particular. What was she most well known for? Harry Potter. Yeah, Harry Potter. Probably most one of the most famous writers, certainly in our lifetime. But Rowling was penniless, severe depression after going through a divorce and attempting to raise a child single-handedly while working and writing. But aren't you glad that she continued? Because if she hadn't continued, maybe we wouldn't have all those books. Not that I've read any, because I'm not a great reader. But I've enjoyed all the films. I share these with you, the billions more. I mean, you could just pick them off the web if you like. That's what I did. You know, you can pick these off people who almost didn't make it. You know, life was, in many ways, was so stacked against them. But what did they do? They continued. They continued. They kept going. They persevered. They remained in what they believed in. What was their passion, what their gifting was. They persevered. And it really produced a fruit. Now, we might find it hard to relate to such big celebrities. You know, well, I'll never be like those. But let's try and bring it a little bit down to earth, a little bit down to you and me. You know, over the next few years, a number of you are going to be studying, or you are studying. You're studying for exams. And you need certain grades for your exams in order for you to go on to the next stage, because maybe you've thought about what you want to study, you know, what you're interested in. You've looked down, you looked on the web, you figured out what points you need, what grades you need. And so that's what you're aiming for. And I hope more than anything that you get, you know, what you're aiming for. Can I promise it you? Can I be certain that you'll get those grades? I can't be certain. Maybe you will. Maybe you won't. Now, you know, you might think, well, that's not a very faith-inspiring word. But, you know, we live in the real world, folks, don't we? I can't predict today whether you will or whether you won't get what you need to pursue the particular topic that you think you're interested in. But, you know, just like Churchill said, success is not final and failure is not fatal. It's the courage to continue that counts. What's important for all of you who are studying at this moment is that you don't get disappointed. You don't lose heart. You don't give up just because you fall at the first hurdle. You don't, things don't quite work out first time. I mean, I've shared this with you, and Samuel's here. You know, Samuel is a fantastic example of when you trip, you know, you fall over at a hurdle. You know, when Samuel was in the lower sixth and he was pursuing certain subjects and it just didn't work out. He had a bad first year sixth. But he picked himself up again, chose some different subjects and worked hard. And now, you know, has got a first class, you know, bachelor's degree, got a distinction in his master's degree, now, you know, pursuing a PhD. And that's, you know, it's Saint Samuel's trumpet, and I'm very proud of him. But he continued. He continued. And failure was not fatal. It was just a reason to get up again and brush yourself down, step back, reflect, seek God, say, God, what should I do? And you continue. And you keep going. And I know your exams, your final exams are several months away, or maybe a year and several months away. But I want you to remember this. You know, failure is not fatal. Don't give up. Keep going. Keep trusting God. You know, it says in Proverbs 24, verse 16, it says, though the righteous fall seven times, they rise up again. Why do we rise up? Because we've been singing all about it. You know, he never leaves us. He's always there. He's all, you know, there's no mountain that's too high for us to climb. God will always help us if we trust him. For the rest of us, and for the young people too, you know, for the rest of us who aren't studying, because we're beyond that, we've had enough, we don't want to do any more exams, thank you very much. But maybe have dreams. Maybe have dreams or aspirations, things you want to see happen in your life, or things you want to see happen in the lives of your children. Maybe you have aspirations around relationships or job aspirations, or aspirations around finance and things that you want to buy a house or move house, all sorts of things. You know, we have our dreams. We have our aspirations. Can I promise you that all your dreams will come true? Thus says the Lord, you know. I wish I could, but I can't. Because I live in the real world, and I can't be 100% certain that the dreams you have are exactly aligned up with the will of God, because I know when they are in the will of God, I know that God is faithful and he will give you that which you desire if it's in line with the will of God. But I don't know all your desires and dreams. I can't promise you. But you know, it says in Isaiah 49, verse 23, it says, those who hope in me will not be disappointed. In fact, a more well-known scripture in Isaiah, it says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Disappointment can be really, really debilitating. I know what it's like sometimes to experience disappointment. And it makes you go, ugh, doesn't it? It's that something that makes you just sink when you're disappointed. But you know, if we're looking to get our fulfillment and satisfaction and strength from the things of the world, then it's very risky, because the world is very, we call it ephemeral. Do you know what ephemeral means? It means very brief, here today, gone tomorrow. It's from a Greek word. It means, you know, last a day. Ephemeral. You know, the things of the world, they might give you short-term satisfaction, short-term pleasure, but they'll never be what truly holds you in there and fulfills you. Only eternal things, only the things of God, only the plans of God will ultimately sustain you, keep you, strengthen you, and keep you moving on and keep you growing. You may end up being disappointed. You know, your dreams might not come true. I'm really sorry. But what I can be absolutely certain about is if you hope in the Lord, if you hope in the Lord, you will not be disappointed. He will sustain you. For me, there's an even greater vulnerability. Because, you know, we've got to continue, not just during the hard times, not just when things fail, not just when our dreams don't come true, but we've got to keep going when everything goes right. Well, that sounds weird. We've got to keep going when things are easy. And this is one of my vulnerabilities, you know. In many respects, you know, I could think, well, 2015 is just another year. You know, I often think about that. You know, I settle down into things very easily, which is a strength, but is also a weakness. I very easily kind of get myself in the groove and off I go, and the world's around me. I don't know what's happening. It drives Kim bonkers. You know, I live in my own little world. And I'm happy just traveling on. But, you know, that can be a real weakness at times as well. It says here in Proverbs 6:10, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. Even when things are going great, you know, no problems, moving along, it's very easy in those moments to take your eye off the ball. Very easy to kind of sit down when you really should be standing. Very easy just to dawdle when you should be running with all your strength, because somehow things are really easy. It's like I don't know if this is a good or bad analogy, but I thought about it and I'll share it with you. But you know, if you use sat navs, you know, most of us use sat navs these days. You know, you get on the motorway with a sat nav. I mean, sat navs talking to you all the time. Like they're giving you directions until you get on the motorway. You get on the motorway and then sat nav will say, continue on this road for the next 70 miles. And then he won't talk to you again. Which is kind of good, really, in some ways. But anybody who knows what my driving is like, particularly when I'm tired, it's dreadful because I get very sleepy, you know, and I need that kind of reaction and interaction. I need to be doing stuff, otherwise, you know, I drift. But that's just like life. You know, in life is easy. Ever so easy to kind of fall asleep spiritually. Take your eye, become blunt, not sharp. Sometimes, you know, God puts deliberately challenges, difficulties and hard times and things go wrong. But God is behind them because he's trying to keep us awake. He doesn't want us to end up in a ditch on the side of the motorway because we've fallen asleep because no one is talking to us. So keep on going, continue, even in the easy times. Dave mentioned that, you know, we're into our third year today in this building. You know, it's actually back in April, April to come, we'll have completed our third year as a church and then be entering into our fourth year. What is God saying to us? Well, I believe what God is saying to us, continue. Continue. Keep going. You know, there was always that adrenaline rush, wasn't there, when we were starting up? We had so much to put in place and so much to work out. And we kind of got so much in place now. It's kind of all starting to purr along. Not completely purring, but, you know, we aren't doing bad. But at those times, we can be so vulnerable to falling asleep spiritually and slowing down and dawdling when we should still be standing up or running with all our heart, mind and strength. Church, we need to keep going. So, as for you, continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learned it and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. I would finish with just two final thoughts on this. There are times when it's right not to continue. I'm saying here, continue. And you'll be trying to apply this one word to all sorts of situations in your life that I don't know. And there are times when it's right not to continue. And those are the things are that God is no longer in. That maybe God once upon a time graced your lives and he was with you and you were being successful and prosperous and fulfilled and you were growing in them. But God has moved on, but you haven't. And you're continuing, but actually you're not continuing living in God, which is what this scripture is all about. You're continuing in the thing that God was once in that he has moved on from. And so I share that as a little provoking thought, a little just check that, you know, don't just blindly continue in things. What we need to continue is what the scripture tells us, is we need to continue in him. We need to continue in him. And Helen, you're completely on the mark again. It's in my notes. It says there we need to continue in what we've learned. Because we've been taught the Holy Scriptures, and it goes on to say, you know, all scripture is useful for blah blah blah, you know. We need to get back into the scriptures. And if any of you or any of us are going to make any New Year's resolution, then make it be your resolution to get back into the Word of God. Because how are you going to know if God has moved on from something unless you are feeding and drinking the Word of God so the Spirit of God is able to talk to you so that you are continuing in him, not just continuing in things. And the last thing I would say is this, and it goes back to the second of those two definitions to continue. Remember, the second definition is sometimes, you know, you there's a pause. You know, we stopped for lunch, and then after lunch we continued with what we were doing, kind of idea. We stop and then we continued again. Maybe for some of you, if you did take time to reflect where you are, where you've been, where you'd like to go this year, maybe, you know, there's been a bit of a pause, a bit of an interrupt, a bit of a stopping in your life. Then God's word to you is still continue. Pick yourself up. Get back into it. Start again. But continue. Amen.